Parshas over here. Parshas is out of order. According to all sheets, this is out of order. We just don't know exactly when. This is dealing with, remember when the woman went through a miracle and she got, you know, she said that she didn't have any food, she didn't know what to do, etc. So this is the famine that they were in the middle of when the woman needed food. Anyway, that which also the exception, I guess, just say. But anyway, this is where it was. Now, this is going to be regarding the woman itself. It's also sometime during the 7-year siege when they were surrounding Yerushalayim. So we're going to see exactly what's going on over here. But this is for sure out of order in some way, shape, or form. So, the Elisha Dibra Elisha Shurhaki has been a laymor. Kumi Ulchi At Uve Seich Beguri Vasher Taguri. Elisha spoke to the woman whose son she had revived.
How do you know it's out of order?
The Midrashim say it, but we're going to see, because this is referring to the famine that they were talking about before. He was telling her right now, get up and go. You and your house, agree by your degree, live wherever you want. Kikarsham Lorov, God is calling out a hunger. So the hunger that we've been talking about in the previous chapters, God is making that out. But Gambol Oris Shavashanim, it's going to come to the land for 7 years. So the woman got up, she did exactly what the man of God told her to do. So she went, she had her house. She lived in the land the Plishtim for 7 years altogether. And the whole pshat is because of Yehoram and what he had done to Kalei, so Yehoram ben Ahav, therefore the whole land is going to be affected, so get out of here. That's what she told her, what he told her. At the end of the 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Plishtim. She called out loud. She called out to the king. She wanted her house back. She wanted her field back, right, because of her inheritances or whatever and stuff like that. The king spoke to Gehazi, was talking with Gehazi. Gehazi saying, you know, that she did own that land or whatever it was, and said, tell me please all the greatness, the great things that Elisha has done. In other words, tell me some miracle stories. I want to hear some miracle stories that I know about this. Now, here's the deal. 7 years is a long time. Halakhically, if a woman leaves the land, right, for 7 years, leaves the land, you know, without saying anything, without making a machal whatsoever, then in theory a person can make a chazakah. The guy would have to be a liar, because you can't make a chazakah without a taina. You need a claim. In other words, squatting laws do not apply in halakha. You can't just be sitting there and say, well, you didn't say anything for 7 years. I didn't say anything because you never owned it, you never bought it, you don't even have a claim. But if the guy lies and says, oh, I bought this 7 years ago and I lost my star, so you can't kick me out, then in theory a chazak with a taina could win. So the woman would be left over. What?
How about some sort of like letter?
Any letter is fine. Within 3 years.
No, is that if the liar, can you be like, I intend on, I'm taking this parcel of land?
Counts as nothing. I don't have to respond. You can't take that spot, that piece of land. It doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, but isn't
it? Are you saying you bought it?
How do you see
about it? There's no such thing. You have to have a claim of a taina. No, you have to have a taina of some type of buying. Oh. You have to go somewhere. You did come.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Grab. I didn't bring enough tanaas for you.
He's not even
coming. Yeah. Well, you told me you weren't coming. Well, that's too unbelievable. So, chazak of makom edim of wim by edim. So that's a good call. But that's a cheskes avasa. In other words, a gehazi is testifying that 7 years ago it did belong to this woman. That's not a chazak that it belongs to her now, because she could have sold it. But let's assume right now that it was just squatters. That's probably the easiest thing over here. Let's assume that it's some of that. Anyway, Yehoram was the king. And remember, he was a judge. In last week's parak, which David missed, we did is that Yehoram was judging the people regarding a crazy deed of, you know, killing children. So if Yehoram was a judge, he clearly could have done it over here as well, but let's see what ends up happening over here. So Nabayihu Misafer Lamelech Es Asher Hechia Es Amaze. So he was telling over to the king how he had revived the dead. It happened to be that while he was talking about the child being revived and brought back to life, that woman came at that moment crying out to the king, Al-Basim al on her house and on her field. There's no coincidence in this world. It happens to me. This is the woman, this is the child that Elisha had revived. That's it, Dave. I'll see you tomorrow. But that Asher Elisha, it's not a coincidence. It happened to have been right over here. this is a punishment, divine retribution for the woman. Remember what Elisha first said to the woman before, you know, when she had made that second story for Elisha. He said to her, what can I help you with? Do you have any matters with the king? And she said, no, I don't have anything that I need to do with the king. Never take the words of a Navi lightly, even if he's just saying it. When he said, do you have any matters with the king, she should have answered, if you know of something, then please do something.
But that's what should have answered. It's going to happen years from now.
It's 100% true. Nonetheless, it's a punishment that if the Navi says something to you, accept it that there's something that he's talking about, there's something that he wants over there, so say it out loud. She should have considered it since she rejected it out of hand, saying, no, I'm taking care of it. She needed the king. She needed a king. What's up?
Did we call her in the pasuk Isha Shunamis? Or was that...
Isha Shunamis, correct.
So Now we don't call her that anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting why we don't call her that. But it happened to be it's Isha Shunamis. Maybe because now she wasn't from Shunam. She lived in the Pelishtim land for 7 years. So maybe that's the reason why.
Maybe but she also didn't want any favors from Elisha. Like, even though, yeah, Elisha could do her a favor, but she did it mishma. She didn't want anything in exchange for it.
That's a good call. Nonetheless, if Navi says something like that to you, the Navi said, what can I do for you? Do you have any matters with the king? Why would the Navi have said that? It's different when you're dealing with Nevi'im. It's sort of like a Gadol Ador who's so careful with his words. He doesn't say anything extraneous. And then all of a sudden he says something totally superfluous, totally extraneous, didn't need to say it, but he said it. Why did he say that?
I mean, in context, not necessarily superfluous. I mean, do you need anything usually means, like, can I do you a favor? Can I give you some money or whatever? And do you need from the king is like, oh, you know the king? Like, nobody knows the king. Like, maybe you can do something above and beyond what normal people do.
I agree with you. Nonetheless, I still think by enough it'll be different. Now, that's what the Mi'am always says, that it was this. This was the problem. The media connected media was out there. Pasuk Vav, it says, the king asked the woman, Savralo, she told him the whole story. So the king gave her an officer saying, give her back everything that serves as cultivable. All the grain of the land, of the field, from the day that she left the land up until now. Now, the pshat is that, number one, that doesn't decide the case for you. Like, oh, wow, you had a miracle happen to you, you take everything. That's clearly not a good din. But the law is the following. The only case that could have been brought to court over here is if the other guy had a taina. And what she was saying is that the taina is a bogus taina. That's what she's trying to claim. If there was such a claim being made, she was saying, it's not true, I never sold it. He's saying a miracle wouldn't happen to such a person that she'd have tzchias meisim on her kid if she was a liar. If she was a liar, it wouldn't happen.
Well, was this a liar after tzchias meisim?
Well, I guess that's what the king was assuming. Yehoram was saying, this woman must be an unbelievable tzedekes. There's no way she would have done that. And therefore, she must be telling the truth in this case. That was his assumption.
Well, doesn't the king also get to then, like, make his own rules?
True, also, normally, though, if he's acting as a dayan, you're not allowed to do that. A dayan can't do so.
No, but I mean, there's two situations here. Number one is the king, and the king can be mafkeh, property that he wants. Also, Bezin has
Hefker, Bezin, Hefker has to be within the context of the law. You still can't go and just say Hefker, Bezin, Hefker and take away people's field unless there was something wrong that was done. In this case, well, it wasn't necessarily anything wrong.
Something wrong was done. Yes.
Yeah.
In letter of the law, everything fits, but something is shady.
And that's probably, that may be what he was thinking over here. Maybe that's what he was doing, but I'm not positive about that. In the end, by the way, not only did she get her field back, she also got the fruits of the previous 7 years that the guy was eating from the field. I mean, anything that he did, question about what you get back. This is Gamal about Mitzia. But you have Elisha Damascus. Pasuk Zayin says Elisha went to Damascus. Ben Hadad Melech Aram Kola. At that time, Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, was sick. But you get Lolemor Ba Yisrael Limarhena. They told Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, that the man of God had come here. Now, why did he go to Damascus? He had already thrown Gehazi out of the house, and Gehazi had been gone. So the Gemara says at the end of a parak. In Brachos, maybe. I don't remember exactly where. But the end of a parak says, it's Mamish, but it's the very, very end. It's kind of in Brachos, like the fourth, fifth parak, whatever it is. Says that Elisha went to go bring him to do tshuva, and he wouldn't come back. Meaning he said, absolutely not, I'm not coming back. So that already is a Gemara, it's part of the Chasronus HaShatz. It's where Yashka is taken out, whatever, it's a Gemara in Soto, whatever it is. But the reason why I went to Damascus was to return Elisha, that's at the end of a parak somewhere, it says that. Gehazi said, no, I can't, because I've already influenced other people to do sins. And when you do that, you can't come back. What did he do exactly? Some say that he put magnets in the golden eagle. The golden agolin, you know, that Yerubim ben Nevat had made, and he made them fly in the air. He put opposite magnets, polar opposites. You know how they make those trains go so fast throughout all of Europe? He did that, and he figured out that it would float, and the thing was floating up in the air, and he did that, and that's the reason why he was up there. The other one is that he wrote a special name of God, put it in the calf's mouth, and the calf started calling out loud, and he caused people to sin even worse with the golden calves. So because of that, he had done one of those two things. Pasuk Ches, yeah.
Golden calves.
I know, they're unbelievable, aren't they? Yomra Melech HaChazoyel. The king said to Chazoyel, "Kach yoscham bincha v'lech likras ish Elohim." So take a present in your hand, go visit the man of God, the Drasha Hashem. So lemar achia mechol izad. Go ask him from Hashem, "Am I going to live from this sickness?" Now, what I find a little bit strange is the name. Chazoel is a weird name. Now, clearly that was translated from Aramaic into Hebrew. But Chazoel is an unbelievable name. Vision of God or seeing of God. I'm not so sure if that was, you know, if that's the translation or that was the actual name. I don't know.
Chazoel is an Aramaic word.
Chazoel. Maybe that would be an Aramaic word. So it's weird. Maybe that's what it was.
Was that what it means?
See. Yeah, it's a vision or something like that. By the way, that's that. So Vayel Chazoel. Now remember, the king of Aram knew about Elisha. He knew about him from before. Vayel Chazoel the cross. Chazoel went to go greet him. But he got mincha b'yado, and he took a gift in his hand, a whole two domestic masa arba'im gamal. Then he took all the goodness of Damascus, right? The amount that can carry 40 camels worth. That's a crazy amount of stuff. I'm not so sure he actually brought that to Elisha. What's Elisha going to do with that sitting in Damascus? It probably meant that he brought him. He probably took like one precious stone that was worth that amount, or food that was kosher, or whatever it is, something like that. It seems weird that he'd be sending him 40 camels full. But either way,
Avram sent all those camels to Rivka.
To Rivka, because that was to her house. That was to her house. In theory, the house should be there. They're filled with McDonald's, with fruits.
Maybe he's giving the camels to Elisha to take back with him.
That could be. What it does say, Masa Arboin Gamal. Not necessarily the camels, but the gift. You know what 40 camels can carry. He came and he stood in front of the Yomer. Bin Kol Ben Adad Melech Haram Shlachani Elech Aleim Ha'ayachem Yechol Yizeh. Your child, almost your student, right? Ben Adad, the king of Aram, has sent me to you, saying, "Will I live from this type of sickness?" Now, it's interesting, right? He's not asking Elisha for a refuah. He's asking to foretell the future. That's all he's doing. He just wants to know, am I going to live or not? I don't want to know if you can save me. I'm not asking for that. I'm not asking for any good stuff, whatever it is, which is weird. But that's why he's trying to save everybody. Yomar Elav Elisha, Leich Emor Lo, Chayo Sichya. So look at this wording over here, and you clearly see something. Elisha says to him, go and tell him. Okay, go and say, Lo is written as Lamed Aleph, but it's read as Lamed Vav. So, Lo Chayosichyat would be, with the Aleph, it would be, you are not going to live. Darani Hashem Kimosimus, rather Hashem has showed me that you will die. The other way of looking at it is, Emor Lo, he said to him, Chayosichyat, you will live. But then Hashem showed me, you will surely die. So what's Pshat? What in the world is he trying to say over here? So first of all, it's the best way of answering a question. Very vague. Very vague. You can get around anything. See, I said that. You just have to translate words. But that's not what he said. What did he just say?
According to the first way, he says, no, you're going to live.
No, you will not live. Hashem has showed me that you will surely die.
No.
That's the first way.
What are you going to die?
What do you got?
No, real punk. Where is it?
Here.
So you see how it says lo, emor?
No, but that's a mapach pashto. What's the end of it?
I don't know.
So that's like munachas nachto. No, it's not. This is the esnachta is the stop.
I know, but
that's a kasha. Lo is a little bit different. Yeah, but it's not an official stop. It leads into the end, which is an esnachta.
Well, but it's saying, no, you will live.
No, it doesn't have to be. We lo chayosich. Yeah, it's read together. If you read it together, it's emor lo chayosich. Yeah, that's how you read it. So that's how you'd read it over there. Either way, regardless, the other way is going, and he said to him, you're going to live, but you can die. So here's the second shot. Second shot is, he's going to live. What? Chayosifia, tell him that he's going to live, but you should know he's really going to die. In other words, I don't want you to get in trouble or whatever it is by saying that he's going to die. So he told him, go tell him that he's going to live. But let his days be happy. Let him not think that it's going to happen that way, and that's that.
What's the deal? So I shall not be getting wrong. He misprocesses.
Don't you feel that, Navi? Oh, sorry, I guess.
I mean, obviously not if that's what he says. I'm sure Chazal would have said at the end of the day, here's what the Navi really told me. So probably it would be out there, but that's a good call, right? If it was a false Nevuah.
But it's the Rashi and a different explanation.
But what did he say? He said...
The Rashi says that if I omer lo, he said to him, you will live.
So that's that's the other way that you're going to live.
He will not live, but when he said to him with above, meant that you will live. And the Sefer David says that.
Well, we're going
to
see right now.
It could feel better. He's like, look at, tell him that he's going to live, but you're not telling him right now he's
going to die. Well, let's see the rest of this, because now it's going to be important with what happens with Chazal. And Pasuk Gedal says, Vayamid his punim. So he turned his face away. This is Elisha. Vayasamad Bosh. And he put it there for a long time. So Vayek Ishabuhim. And then he cried. He had seen a terrible vision. So he said, why are you crying, my master? What happened? I just saw what you're going to do to Bnei Yisrael. They're strongholds. You're going to send in a fire. You're going to kill the young men. You're going to crush the children. The pregnant woman you're going to rip open. He said, Ben-Hadad has done a lot of bad, but you, Chazal, are going to do a lot worse. And that's what's going to be. What is your servant but a dog that he should do this very great thing? Said Elisha, I've seen you as the king of Aram, that you are going to become the king itself. Perhaps this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now that you know this, maybe you'll do what you need to do in order to become king. There's no question though that this was not Hazael making decisions on his own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to send vengeance against Bnei Yisrael for what they had done in Avodah Zarah, and it was going to be through the hands of Chazal. The Chazal was going to be the one who was going to do such a thing. He left. The other Adonai came back to his master. Elisha, what did Elisha say to you? And this is what you're referring to with that Rashi. He told me that he would live. Meaning referring to himself, that I'm going to live. Or, according to that other parish that we said before, he told me you would live, but you're actually going to die. Okay, by
was this the? I don't recall in the past Nevuos, but is this the first time that we see Elisha talk about like having an on the spot, you know,
Nevuah in front of somebody?
Yeah.
What's it called? You know what? I don't know. I don't know if we've. Does anybody remember it? Where do we have an on the spot Nevuah that he said?
Elisha.
What does that mean?
Just Elisha,
like just Elisha. Right in front of somebody comes up to him.
Like, it's always been like. I'll leave the room, or it's never been that instance.
No, doesn't he say? Well, it's not a word of God, but he tells him when he tells Gehazi to go revive the child, he immediately knew what to do.
Right, he immediately knew what to do, but right then God said the words. He said the words. God has withheld from me what has happened to her. He sent Gehazi to go ask her what's going on because God has withheld from me what it is.
Right, what's
I don't know. He didn't really get it.
All the miracles up until now have been
like interesting call. Very interesting call. I don't know.
But when tomorrow there'll be food.
Oh, that might have been a good Nevuah, but he might have known that for days already. He might have known that before. Maybe this is an on-the-spot Nevuah. Yeah, he wasn't really like that. Maybe he did know about this before also, and he was just waiting for Chazal to come to him. When he saw something right there.
That was just God right. Raised him and told him.
Yeah, this is like an automatic thing. That's crazy. And what would have happened had he not done it? That's already a big question as well. What would have happened had Elisha not done that? Had Elisha not said something? That's really the paradox of where these things go. You don't say anything, you don't mention anything, but clearly you have to tell him.
But maybe he told him so that he wouldn't do it, or he would have some mercy.
Maybe he would do that for that. It didn't happen. In the end, Chazal was terrible. But you will get to it in a couple of talks. So the next day, he took the blankets. He dipped it in water. He spread it on the face of the king, on Ben-Hadad. And he died. And Chazal became the king afterwards. So some say that it was by accident. Took a cold, damp cloth. And he put it on his forehead, you know, to cool him down a little bit. Mm. But the shock killed him or whatever.
Like
others say it was clear that he killed him and he intentionally murdered him, knowing that he could become king, that nobody would think of whatsoever.
He made it seem like it was natural.
Murder. Cover up with the cloth. Very good. Very good. You've become a rabbi, Benjamin. You're officially a tzricha. Yeah, they have a whole joke class. Yeah.
If he would have actually killed him on purpose, wouldn't have said he killed him? Like, I don't feel like the Navi is a literature book where it likes leaving it. Leaves like an ambiguous thing to figure out.
Yeah, it is questionable why he said it in this way. It should have just said, and he killed him, you know, and Vayargeu.
Yeah.
That is a little bit weird that it said it that way. Maybe it's a combination of both. In his weakened state, he was easily killed, and once he saw that he was killing him, he just continued. Might not have been his intention to kill him, but at the end of the day, he killed him, even though he didn't mean to, right? But it did end up happening that way. All right, now, brand new subject, okay? Parak says, plus it says nine over here. Vishnas Chamesh Yoram Ben Achav. In the fifth year of Yoram Ben Achav, Melech Yisrael, Yoshava, Melech Yehuda, Melech Yehoram, Ben Yoshafat, Melech Yehuda. So, and also when Yehoshaphat was the king of Judah, so Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, became the king of Judah. Now, there's a lot of questions what that means exactly. Remember we learned before, it was at the end of Melech Malach, that Yehoshaphat purposely relinquished part of his kingdom to Yehoram, his son Yehoram, in his lifetime, because he felt he had done a ton of things wrong when battling together with Ahaz. Because he had felt he had done something wrong with that, so because of that, he took away himself from the kingdom and allowed Yehoram to end up becoming king. That's what some say. Others say refers to something else, but it is a little bit of a weird wording. In the fifth year of Yoram ben Achab, king of Israel, and Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, Melech Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda, he became king. Then Shloshim Shnayim Shana Hayim B'Malchut, he was 32 years old when he became king. Shmona Shana, Melech Yerushalayim Shanim, I'm sorry. For 8 years, he ruled in Yerushalayim, Eilu B'Derech Melech Yisrael, but he went in the ways of the kings of Israel. Because also based Achab, the way of the house of Achab.
His fathers knew that his son was like this. Why would he step down with his son to go wherever he's going to be bad?
It might not have been bad. He might not have been bad during the years of Yehoshaphat. Shafat. That's going to be a question, but he definitely is bad after. Kibat Achav Isalola Isha, because the daughter of Achav was his wife. Okay, we're going to see that later on is going to become Asalia, who later on is going to become the king of Klal Yisrael. But Yasra Ben Hashem, he did evil in the eyes of Hashem. Lo Avashem Lachashas Yehuda, but Hashem did not want to destroy Yehuda Laman David. After all, because of David his servant, Kasher Amar Lo Lasezlo Nir Uvavanav Kol Hayom, because he wanted to give something to him and to his children for all the days. So therefore, he didn't want to destroy him or anything like that. Okay, Chazal. Chazal. Divrei Yamin tells us that he got up, Yehoram, and there, since their father gave him a lot of silver and gold and everything, whatever it was, and there were a lot of children, there were many different cities, Yehoram got up over the kingdom, strengthened himself by killing every single one of his brothers. Every single one of his brothers. So all of his brothers were dead except for him. He was the only son of Yehoshaphat that was left. In those days, Edom rebelled from under the hand of Judah. They had made for themselves a king. Now, since the days of David, Melech Yisrael, there was not a king in Edom. They had governors, they had officers, but they were under the subjugation, I guess they were subjugated to Yehuda, and they were under that continuously. But in his days, Edom decided to make their own king and to take away from everything else. But Yavor, Yoram, Tzira, by the way, there were 8 kings of Edom that are mentioned in Tanakh. For that, there are 8 kings of Yisrael that took over after those 8 kings died. The 8 kings are Ishbosheth, David, Shlomo, Rechavam, Abiyam, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Yehoram. And that's when they rebelled. But Yavor Yoram, Tzira, Bechol, Rechav, Imo, Vayu, Kam, Laila. So Yehoram passed over to Tzair, him and all the chariots were with him. Vayu, Kam, Laila, he got up in the middle of the night. Vayakas, Adom, Hasovevi, Love, and he killed all the Edomites that were around them. Vasaria, Rechav, and all the officers of the chariots. Vayanasa, Amno, Love, all the people ran back to their tents. Now, even though he had won that war, that battle, I should say, nonetheless, they still rebelled against the Yad of Yehuda on Yom HaZeh. Us Tibsha Livna Bezi, and at that time Livna got themselves up. I believe that's part of Lebanon, although it could have been in the south. I'm not positive. Does it say where Livna is over here?
It says Moab, Edom.
You don't see cities of Livna? No city of Livna. All right, then it's probably Lebanon all the way up. All right, I don't know. Yeah, you don't know if that's stuff like that. But regardless, that's what it ended up being over there. Some say, by the way, that you know that the king of Edom had a civil war together with the Edomite soldiers, and it wasn't even Yehoram that killed them, but it was rather they killed themselves. Right, that's that. Livna is a big question. Okay, but yesterday Yoram, everything that Yoram did and everything you know that he had finished. So all those things are written in the Sefer Divrei Yom Malch Yehuda. It says in Divrei Yom, Yishkab Yoram Avosav, he died with the covering of Avosav. He was buried with his fathers in Ir David. So that does tell you that he could have been, he must have been somewhat of a tzaddik, because they did not bury people like that together in Ir David. And Achazio, his son, became king. Now this is Ahaz, whose son is going to be Chizkiah. So we are going to see Chizkiah Acham still from King Yehuda. But Achaz, who's going to have Chizkiah now? Even though...
Wait, is this the same Achaz as Chizkiah? They don't... Yoash is the next king, I thought.
Yo, yeah, he is. But nonetheless, no, not if you're Achaz. It's going to be Achaz, Asalya.
Right, then Yoach.
Oh, you're right. You're right. There's got to be a different Achaz. Do we have a list of the kings around here?
No, mine's at my house.
Oh, no, no, it's back there. You got it over here. Oh, right here. Perfect. Here we go. Oh, it's a long way off. You're right. That's Achaz ben Yosam. So we're going to have to get to that. Okay, we have some time over here. Very good. Okay, so what else did he do over here? He made altars in the mountains of Yehuda. He made the inhabitants of Jerusalem unfaithful. He made Yehuda go astray. A letter came to him from Eliyahu. Eliyahu and Nabi must have been alive at the time, and said that you're going to go down, you're going to have severe sickness, your intestines are going to come out of your body
around
from your sickness.
He had already gone in this chariot of fire.
Well, technically this is out of order. This is the 5th year of Yehoram.
We know that Yehoshaphat, he stepped down after Ahab. How many years was Yoram?
You'd have to figure it out. There's a lot of mess ups we got in the years over here, but I don't know.
And also,
must be. But there was no son left to him but Yoachaz. All of his sons died, except for one whose name was Yoachaz. Arabs and the Cushim came along with the Pelishim, and they took away all their property. They lost all of their money. Yoachaz was the only kid that was left. What happened? He had a sickness for which there was no cure for 2 days. Every day it was bad enough. Eventually his intestines came out from his sickness. He died in severe sickness. People didn't make a burning for him like they did for the burning of the father. He departed joyless. They buried him. Oh, look at this. In years of it, it says they buried him in the city of David, but not in the graves of the king. Not in the graves of the king. Yehoram was not worthy of seeing Eliyahu Hanavi. Had to be sent a letter. In the 12th year of Yoram ben Achav, the king of Israel, Malach Achazio ben Yehoram el Yehuda, that's when Achazio became king. So he was 22 years old when he became king. That was Achazio over here. He was only king for 1 year in Yerushalayim. The name of his mother, well, we're going to see that it really is his granddaughter, but we're calling it his daughter because she took after the ways of Omri. But it's going to be his mother's name was Asalya, right? The daughter of Omri. But earlier we said that it was the daughter of Achav, earlier told, right? Since no mention is made of Yehoram of having another wife, we can assume that Asalya was the mother of Achaziah, who was mentioned over there.
Here's the mention they had another wife. He married Achav's sister and he married Achav's.
No, but if you're dealing with that, first of all, it would be interesting to be able to do that, you know, to be able to have that. We see many different times where granddaughters are called sons, daughters. Like, for example, by Yisro, we'll see that all the time, right? By Reuel and Hova, Ben Yisro, Ben Yeser. We see that all the time where grandchildren are called that. In fact, Avraham himself does it, right? Because Ben Achosi.
That makes sense when you're talking about it. That makes sense when you're saying that this was a descendant of an important person. But here, Achav is probably more important than Omri. Omri was king for a month. Achav was king for 22 years. So if you're going to say that she's the daughter of somebody, you say she's the daughter of Achav.
I don't know if that would be the most cautious. It depends on how old this daughter was. She might have been known more of that than anywhere else. I don't know. Because we do this before also. Ben Nahor, when is it? When we do the by Lavan. Even though Nahor was not as chashuv as Besua was, but Yesh Ben Lenahor. Right? That was the question that was asked when they came down there. But Besua was the mayor. So they said because Nahor was more...
Nahor is the big picture of the Tanakh. It's more important because he's the ancestor of Avram.
Now, so
that makes sense to follow the lineage to Avram because you want to show their family of Avram.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't go that way. Again, if we have and we set up above that this is that he married the daughter of Achav, and now over here they call her Asalya Bas Amri.
Yeah, so then you're really not even being consistent.
But it's the granddaughter. Then no, but then you might be trying to teach the halacha of Bnei Banim Arayim Kevanim. That might be out there, or there's another reason why. But I don't have a real reason why. But it does make sense that it's considered the same person. It wouldn't be. I mean, it's sensitive out there. Either way, regardless, some people say that Yehoram actually reigned for 28 years, but only 8 years were good, and that's why they called it 8 altogether. It really depends on what happens, how you want to define the amount of years at the end of the day. What does it say in the end over there? What does it say when it has the map? Does it say 8 or 20? That would really be 8. It only gives 8 years. 20, 28 25. Okay. Here we go. He went the ways of the house of Ahab. He asked Rabbi Hashem. He did what was evil in Isaac's drunk Beis Ahab. He chatan Beis Ahab, because he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Vayelechus Yoram ben Ahab. And he went with Yoram, the son of Ahab. Lamelchama. So he went with Yoram, the son of Ahab. This would have been his uncle. Yeah, Lamelchama to war im Chazal Melech Aram with Chazal the king of Aram, the Ramos Gilad by Yaakov Amramim as Yoram, and the Arameans killed Yoram. Vayashav Yoram Melech Yisrafi Israel. Yoram the king, this is Yoram of Bnei Yisrael. He went to go get healed in Israel. Min Amakam Asher Yaku Aramim b'Rama, right from the hits that they had dealt him when he was in Rama. B'Yilachmo with Chazal Melech Aram when he was fighting with Chazal king of Aram. Achazio ben Yoram Melech Yuda Yared Lerosis Yoram ben Achav. So Achazio, so confusing, right? Achazio, the son of Yehoram, the king of Yehuda, went down to go see Yoram, the son of Achav in Israel. Kicholu, for he was sick, right? So that. So he went down to go see him, and that's that. All right, we got that down over here. Azaria, by the way, is the name that is given to Ahaziah in the what's called in Divrei Yamin. So Azaria is the name for him, since there were no other kids, so he killed all the other brothers. That was the only kid alive. The Elisha Hanavi. This is Parak Tes. Now Parak Tes Pasuk Aleph. Elisha Hanavi Karla Achan Mibinavi and Vayomer Lo. And Elisha called one of the Nevi'im, one of the children of the Nevi'im, in other words, one of the young prophets. And he said to him, Chagamas Nefa, go gird your loins, Kafach Hashem Ezeh, Diyodecha, take this anointing flask of oil, Lech Ramos Gilad and go to Ramot Gilad. Vaz Hashem Ra'esham Yehu ben Yoshap. You should go there, and you're going to see Yehu, son of Yoshapat ben Nimshi. Okay, this is not Yoshapat of Melech Yehuda, it's Yoshapat of Yisrael. Let's get a knee. Any more confusing with these names going back and forth? Get up and bring him away from his brothers. He's always with his brothers. Take him away. And take him into a room behind another room. And take the flask of oil. Pour it on his head. This is what God says. You are now going to be king of Bnei Yisrael. You should open up your door. Run. Do not delay. Get out as soon as you do that. Who was this guy? Who do you think this guy was?
Yonah.
Yeah, very good. Yonah ben Ittai. Elisha could not do it. The reason why he couldn't do it is because he couldn't risk visiting him in person. Right now, since Yehoram, son of Ahab, was extremely sick and dying, everybody was assuming that they were waiting for a new person to become king. They were waiting for something. I'm sorry? Probably. I think we're going to mention them very, very soon. So they were waiting to see who was going to become the next king. If they knew that Elisha was going out somewhere to go find the general of the army, who was Yehu ben Yoshapat ben Nimshi, and he was going into a room with him, obviously they would immediately say, we know what Elisha is doing.
The other time we have seen Israel that a king was anointed.
And that's a good call also. This was not the anointing oil of the Shemana Mishcha. This was a different type of parsenony oil, says the Gemara, because these kings did not get that whatsoever. Very good. Very good. It's also mentioned in Sanhedrin. Well, yeah, it's in Sanhedrin in the last parak as well. But it does mention the difference between the oil that's used for the regular kings and the oil that's used over there. Balsam oil is what it's called. Also, it wasn't anointed from a horn, which is considered more permanent, but rather from a flask. That makes it a little bit different as well.
By Yelech HaNar, and the day he was anointed by a Navi.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
By the emissary of a Navi.
Guys, help me with this again. I believe in Pasuk Dalet, it says, Vayel Hanar, Hanar Hanavi, it says Hanar twice, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the reason why it says Hanar twice is because, number one, he was a young boy, but number two, he was already an advanced student. So really, he wasn't just like appointed to this task and that's that. It was Yonah. It was somebody who had already been there for a while.
It could be like this, and that he's, also, like, you know, you kind of downgraded this kind of mouth-based study, so it comes from a flask, it's balsam oil. And it's not the Navi.
That's a good call. That's a really, really good call. Remember, by the way, that Eliyahu Navi also was told to anoint Yehu as the next king, and he passed it on to Elisha. Now Elisha's passing it on to Yonah, which is interesting. But there is an opinion that says that the reason why he was able to pass it on to Yonah is because Yonah was not only the Talmud of Elisha, but Elisha had given him life. So he had been... it was Eliyahu Navi. That's right. It wasn't Elisha. Yeah. So even more so, it would be like Eliyahu Navi doing it. That was it. That's even better. I don't know. Yomer Davar Le'elecha Asar. So he went to Ramos Gilad. Yavo Hine Sari Achal Yoshim. So all the officers were there, all the brothers together with Yehu, etc. Yomer Davar Le'elecha Asar. I have a word with you, the Mr. Officer. So Mikulanu, who among us? It's to you. Now, Yehu was a humble person. He was a humble person. When he heard that he was coming, you know, the prophet was trying to say something to him, Yehu did not assume that it was referring to him. He said, who among us? We're all Chashev over here. Which among us is supposed to get this? To which he said, it's supposed to be for you. So he got up, he went inside the house. So he put the oil on his head. God says, God is anointed you as king over the Am of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. You are allowed to kill the house of Ahab, your master. And therefore I will take revenge for the blood of my servants, the prophets, and for the blood of all the servants of God from the hands of Jezebel. All of the house of Ahab must be destroyed. I will cut off from Ahab anything that urinates on a wall, and there will be nothing left of them in all Bnei Israel. Izebel will be eaten by dogs in the chilek of Israel. They ain't cold there. Nobody will bury her. But he then opened up the door and ran. You can imagine this is fraught with danger. Anybody finds out that this Navi was telling over this Nebuah over to Yehu, he could be killed immediately by anybody who was sympathetic toward Ahab and his followers. He didn't even know if Yehu was going to kill him. So as soon as you finished the prophecy, he went out. Yehu was loyal to Ahab itself.
It's a little strange that Elisha tells Yonah, this is what God wants, and get out. But he doesn't say what
he's going to say. There must have been a message, because Yonah could not have done this on his own. Maybe he got a Nebuah right at that moment, but it seems clear that there must have been more that Elisha would have told him. But you are right. It's weird that Elisha didn't say this out loud. Number one, Yehu was going to be a good king, at least for a little bit. Yehu was going to be a good king in that he kept the Torah, and the interest of the Torah at a time when Bnei Yehuda were not keeping the Torah whatsoever. He was telling him specifically, Ahab, your master. I do know that you're loyal to Ahab. Nonetheless, the mitzvah right now is for you to overcome them and destroy them. That is the mitzvah right now. Do not give in to them and don't let them live. That's the idea right now. Specifically mentioning Izebel. Izebel is a witch. She is going to use everything in her power to be able to convince you that she should live. Don't let her live. She is not allowed to live whatsoever. Maybe they could have had excuses because Izebel was not really part of the family. She was from another nation, etc. Maybe they could have excuses. She was probably also an extremely beautiful woman. I would assume that she was
age.
We don't know how old she was.
She aged gracefully.
Look at the amount of years she did.
Ahab was 22. Let her say she was 12 when she originally got married. She would have been 45 right now. It's possible you can find a 45-year-old woman, especially with makeup, that looks good. Yeah, well, granted, that was, you know, about the age of death. But regardless, that's that. Just remember, Rachel Hazona. She was older. She was definitely older. Rachel Hazona.
Don't say her name twice in a row.
Yeah, you can. Only be Yodo Makira, and I've never known her, nor do I know what she looks like. So I'm good. Regardless, Rachel Hazona was a Zona for 40 years before she married Yoshua.
Well, that's like, how'd she have kids?
That's a good question. That's probably true. That's a good call.
Yochanan was pretty old.
Yeah, that's true. We can't deal with numbers when we tell the Torah. Yeah, these things are impossible. We can't deal with the Torah.
Paul is a miracle, but we can assume that everybody else is not a miracle.
Not according to Ramban. The only reason why they're not mentioned, says the Ramban, is because miracles that are not prophesied about beforehand are not mentioned in the Torah. The only one that was prophesied about beforehand was Sari, maybe that's why it's mentioned in the Torah, but Yochanan was not mentioned before by a prophet.
Ramban, though, will tell you that your default assumption should be it's not a miracle.
You're making assumptions on the Ramban. Until we see the Ramban again.
I think Ramban.
Just remember, the Ramban says the craziest. He is the craziest miracles. Throwing dirt at the people killed them because psychologically they thought that it was crazy warfare and they died of heart attacks. There is no greater miracle than that. It's dirt! Die! That's the greatest miracle of all time. By Avram and his war.
To quote Ellie Leibowitz today on Facebook, the fact that the UN created a state of Israel it's one of the biggest miracles.
I know, that is one of the biggest miracles of our time. Yehu yata alav yadunav. Yehu went out to the servants of his master, Yemelo HaShalom, right, and said to him, is everything okay? Yehu went out to, you know, the servants, everybody out there. Na'av yadunav. You see what it's like? The servants of Achav. These are the people that serve Achav. And they said to him, he said to him, so is everything okay? Maduav boham eshugah hazeh. Like, why does this crazy man come to you? Because that's what the Nevi'im probably look like. Can you imagine this guy runs into the room, he's like, I gotta see Yehu. Yehu. Okay, I'm Yehu. Come with me to a small room. He just runs out, right? He runs out. There's like, this guy is crazy.
They would go into transit and stuff.
So yeah, exactly. So like when they went into the cell, they were like, oh. They come out. He saw great stuff, but you want to lay him. I think that's the issue at Sichel. Listen, you know these guys and their talk. He didn't deny nor confirm what the guy said. Vayomu sheker. Okay, it's a lie. Hagid Nalanu, please tell us what he said. They understood, everybody respected the Nevi'im. They might have had like little things here and there, but when it boiled down to it, when the Nevi told you something, you listened to everything he said. Vayomu kazosu kazosu amarivai. So listen, he told me this and that. Vayomu kolma Hashem mishachtich lamelech al Yisrael. This is what Hashem says. Hashem, the God has anointed you upon Bnei Yisrael. Vayomu v'yichu ish bigdo. So they quickly, each man took their beged. They put it underneath them on gerim malo. Until they raised him to the highest level, they blew on the shofar. Yomar Malach Yehu. They said Yehu is king. So they did not. They were respectful toward them whatsoever, and they also knew that personal feelings aside, the Nevi'im were not wrong. So they knew that. They knew that these people were telling the truth. They accepted it 100%, even though they were avodim of Achav. Is it just that in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Nonetheless, they accepted Yehu as a new king. Pasuk Yud Aleph. He's Kasher Yehu ben Yoshafat ben Imshio Yoram. The Yoram Yashomer Baromos Yod. So Yehu ben Yoshafat had to make sort of like a. I'm sorry?
Why did they believe Yehu?
I guess they understood
Yehu. He came out with oil on his head.
Yeah, well, I would assume they've known Yehu for a long time. These guys knew what Yehu was like, that he was a good person. He seems to be a Baal Torah, at least in the beginning. He seems to follow the Torah according to everything he's supposed to do. So they must have known him as being a good person. Either way, he made a kesher. In other words, he had to conspire to destroy Yoram. Yoram HaYashom Rav Ramos Gilad. He was being watched day and night in Ramot Gilad. Because of Chazal Melech Haram. It was not easy to get into the city and let alone to be alone with him. Vayashav Yoram HaMelech L'Yisrafiv Yisrael. Yoram had gone back to get healed in Israel. Minamakam Asher Yaku Aramim. Because the Arameans had hit him over there. He fought the war against Chazal. So Yehu said, if you agree, let no one come out from the city, to go tell anyone in Israel. He wanted to make sure that no news would reach Yehoram. He wanted to take them by surprise. No one could tell them that Yehu had made himself king.
He made himself king.
Yehu rode. Yehu rode. He went to Israel. That's where Yoram was. It's strange that we keep having to say that. It is weird that this is the third pasuk that mentions that Yoram was in Israel, was in that area. Achazi, the king of Judah, had gone down there to go see Yoram. So the lookout stood up upon the tower of Israel. And he saw the troop of Yehu as they were coming. So you see straight over here that Yehu had a special way of looking. That his troops looked in a certain fashion. I see a group, a troop. Go take a chariot, go meet them, and go ask them if everything's okay. So the rider of the horses came to go greet him. Is everything okay? Right? What's with you and all this peace? What does it matter to you? I turn around, turn to my back. So the lookout said, the messenger went there, but he did not return. He's staying with Yehu. So that's what he said over there. Now the point is that Yehoram wanted to draw Yehu wanted to draw Yehoram out. That way, it wouldn't be a bloody battle. He didn't have to fight inside the city against all the people that are on Yoram's side or anything like that. He could draw Yoram out, kill him in the fields, and then slowly but surely win the hearts of the rest of the people. Sent a second rider. He came to Yehu. The king asked, is everything okay? What do you have to do with Shalom? Come behind me. He also came over and he didn't return. So he said, look, it looks like Yehu ben Nimshi because his driving is a little bit crazy. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. I don't know if he's like, you know, 80 mile an hour driver down side streets. I don't know. But the fact is, it looks like it's Yehu. Yoram says, that harness up. It's time for us to go because clearly Yehu has something with us. Yehu rechpo ve'yitzi horem melech yisrael v'achaziel melech yehudi pi'ish brechpo. These went in their chariots. Ve'yitzi likras Yehu and they went to go see Yehu. Ve'yitzi'u b'chalkas Navos Yisraeli and they found him in the field of Navos Yisraeli. Now Navos, if you'll remember, was the cousin of Achav. He was the one that Achav killed and Yehu did this on purpose. He wanted to draw him to that area so that the schus of what's it called of Navos Yisraeli, of the death of Navos Yisraeli, would allow him to be able to kill the house of Achav. When Yehoram saw Yehu, is everything okay, Yehu? What peace can be in this world when Yisrael is unfaithful, your mother, and her magics are continuing, going through everything like that? Obviously, once Yehoram heard that, he tried to flee, but it was too late. Yehoram then turned around his hands in order to flee, to turn around the chariots. So he turned to Achaziah and he called out, "It's treachery, Achaziah!" Yehu mile yado bakashas. Yehu drew the bow with his hand. Vayachas Yehoram ben Zeruah, and he shot Yehoram straight in the heart. Vayitzei achetzi milibo. The arrow went straight through his heart. Vayichra berichbo, and he doubled over in his chariot. Now, there's a lot of reasons why Yehoram had to die in such a way. There's no question that we learned before that he had taken Rivas. Remember that he was the one who had the child, who had the woman, Obadiah's wife, right? He had had her with Ribbis so that he was going to take the children. Obviously, he was cruel as well. Either way, because he hardened his heart and was going to take those children as his slaves, therefore he's called cruel, and that's why it went straight to his heart. He said to Bidkar, Shalisho, his captain, Israeli, go and throw his body in the field of Navos Israeli, because I and you remember how we were riding together behind Achav, Hashem Nasol of Zamasazeh, and Hashem has pronounced him this decree. If not for the blood of Navos and the blood of his children, obviously he killed Navos' children as well, I have seen this past day, says Hashem Shalom, therefore I will pay you back in this portion. Now go and do this, throw him into that portion, and that's that. Okay, now that's that. Pasukov Zion. It says, Achaziah melech Yehudah ro'ah v'yanos derech beis hagan. Achaziah, the king of Yehudah, saw this, and he ran away by the area of the garden. V'yirdav acharav Yehu, and Yehu went after him. V'yamar gamal soiku. You have to kill him as well. Elamar kava, by that chariot, right, on top of the chariot. It's up the maligura chariot yivlo'on. V'yanos megiddo v'yamas shom. So they hit him. Right by that area of Yivlaam. He ran to Megiddo and he died there. So they rode him, his servants went to Yerushalayim. They buried him in his kavura together with his fathers in Ir David. Again, right, he's different all the way out there. It's unbelievable. It seems that he was not given the kever of the regular kings because he was a bad king.
We adjust the direction of his home.
Why, Achaziah?
It was north of Shalom. And
show me the map.
No, they were all hanging out there.
Israel, right?
And they kept going south.
Oh, but he went up there. Why would he go there instead of going down? Well, it would have been right over there.
Wasn't the field of Navos and Shalom? Wasn't that the capital?
It's showing it right there.
Was it the Shalom or something?
You know what, you might be right. I don't know why they would have went there. Maybe there was another home that was around there, but it's a good call. It would have been near the Shomron, unless he moved his callus at some point. Don't remember. Maybe it was in Israel. I do remember something being in Israel, but I don't remember what. Either way, here we go. There are two different accounts of where he died. Some say he died in Megiddo, right? Some say he died in Shomron. In Divrei Hayamim it says he died in the Shomron. So what happened exactly? So some say that he survived and was captured in Shomron later on. That he was shot in Megiddo, but went to Shomron and then over there.
Fatal shot.
Others say... He didn't disgrace his body. He allowed him to bury the... Others say he went into a coma and they were trying to take him away, but then he killed him finally. Oh my gosh, this is the famous one. I forgot about this Gemara in Sanhedrin. Chazia's sin, his worst sin, was that when he was what was he doing with Yehoram? He was taking the Sifrei Torah of Yehoram and scratching off the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the entire Sefer and writing down the names of his Avodah Zarah in their places. What? Yoyakim was the one who tattooed God's name on that area of his body.
Wait a second. The king of Yehuda.
You got to look in Sanhedrin. It was Achaz.
The king of Israel erased God's name.
Remember, this is Achab's grandson. This is Achab's grandson. So yes. Yes, it would have been important that
the people of Yehuda, they didn't see this as an act of war against them. They saw it as a fulfillment of God's prophecy.
Yeah, I guess so, because we are going to see that immediately. We're going to see what happens in Eretz Yisrael, in Yehuda. Shechet Yehuda, as soon as Achaz is dead, immediately, what's her name, gets up. Athaliah gets up and takes over the entire kingdom. She realized that it's her time, so she allowed it to be. We'll see what ends up happening. Vishnat Achadis Rishon of Yoram ben Achav, Moloch Achaz el Yehuda. In the 11th year of Yoram ben Achav, that's when Achaz became king over Judah. Okay, by Yavu Yehu Yisrael. So Yehu went to Yisrael. The Izebel Shama. Izebel heard about it. Izebel knew that her son had just died. But doesn't Bapuch Enel. She put tons of mascara in her eyes. She made her hair all nicey. But Tashke Be'adach alone, and she looked outside the window. Yehu Baba Ashar. Yehu came by the gate. Batom Rashalom Zimri Horig Adonov. It's all well, O Zimri, murderer at the gate. Now why did she call him Zimri?
Zimri.
Remember, Zimri was the person who started all the battles and taking over. Remember, he was the one who ended up being, he had this 7-day reign. We've had this before. Said Izebel, in the kingdom of Yisrael. It didn't last very long. So you're going to be king for 7 days? Is that what you're looking at? That's what she said. She said, I'm going to bide my time a little bit. She dressed herself up because maybe, just maybe, Yehu was going to be seduced by him. When she saw that that wasn't working, and she said, I've seen this before, it's not that big of a deal. So that's the idea. She also wanted the people to see it. Were they going to choose a murderer like Yehu, who came along and did something which is absolutely
she
wrong?
She was a murderer.
Right now, I look like a pretty little girl. So look at me, I'm just a pretty little girl sitting up in the kingdom. Who do you really want over here? So that's what it says. He turned his face to the window. It could be that he didn't even look beforehand because she was such a rush. Right? So he said, who is with me? Me. Who's with me? Calling out in the palace. Bash, Kiboy Love Shnaim Shalosha Sarisim. So two or three officers looked out against him that were in the palace of Achav. Vayomer Shimtua. And he said, throw her down. Vayishmatua. They threw her down. Vayizmi Damalakir Velasusim Yermesena. Her blood splattered upon the wall and on the horses, and they trampled her. Specifically, Yehu immediately trampled her and rode all over her completely. Okay? That was her punishment. Stoning, etc. Remember, that's what she did to cause Nebo's die. She caused him to be stoned. So to her as well. Remember that, guys? What she did to Nebo's?
No.
She said that he had cursed out God. So the people stoned him. But Yavo, he came. He ate and he drank. He didn't even do anything about the body. He left the body rotting in the courtyard. But it showed that the whole palace, they were all fine with him. They all treated him as if it was part of whatever it is. I'm sorry?
Yeah, but I'm saying that that's okay to do, like leave the body out there to rot.
Well, look what he says now. Yomar Piktu Nozal Rurazos. We've got to remember the cursed woman, the Kibruam bury her. Kibas Melachi, she is the daughter of a king, not the wife of a king. She's the daughter of a king from another nation, so she deserves a little bit of respect. But not because of what she's done here. By Yochel Kavra, they went to go bury her. Lo Matsuba, they couldn't find her. Ki'im HaGol Goles, only the skull. Faraglayim, and the legs. The Kapos Yadayim, and the palms of the hands. I forget now, but she was a daughter of somewhere else. Now, why did she have all three of them? Chazal tell us, unbelievable, that whenever a funeral procession would come out, she would wail, mourn, and she would follow the coffin. So she would use her mouth. She would use her legs. Whenever a wedding procession passed by, she went out singing and clapping in joy. And because of that, the dogs had no power over her hands, her feet, or her mouth. They came back and they told her.
Very different answer.
Hmm?
Very different answer.
That's the only Gemara that says it.
I don't know. Like evil that. Woman doing that.
Well, we think of her as evil because whatever. She could have done a little chesed. Maybe she was a big chesed going. I don't know.
I don't really see like a wedding procession going by in like her carriage.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's Evel's not that person. They came back and they told him. Listen, this is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shadibur B'yad Avdo Eliyahu HaTishvi that he had said over in the hands of Eliyahu HaTishvi. Lemor B'chilik Yisrael Yochlo HaKlovim V'Sar Yizavel. Right in the Chilik of Israel, the Klovim are going to eat the Basar of Yizavel.
Oh, that's perfect. Yonah delivered the message and he was the messenger of... he was the kid that
of Eliyahu Hanavi, right? Fulfilling the Nivu of Eliyahu Hanavi. Vayisa Nivlas Yizavel, Kidomen Al Pnei Asad, it was like, you know, like dung on the face of the field. Bechelik Yizrael, Shalo Yom Ruzos Yizavel. Nobody will be able to say, this is Yizavel. They won't recognize her ever again. Nobody will ever know her as Yizavel ever again. She was eaten by the dogs. Awesome, guys. We're up to Parakiyot.